The first scripture reading comes from Matthew 6:26-29. Here Jesus tells his disciples how God cares for all his creation, even by providing the birds of the air nests in which to care for their young. As a result, we don't need to worry. God will provide. Listen and hear God's word. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of those. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Scientific research on having a dog can add years to your life, but you can add years to your dog's life as well if you know the secrets to preventing gum disease. Veterinarian Dr. Jeff Werber is with us to help explain with the help of my dog, Rosie. Hey, girl, come on out, Rosie.
Rosie.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey, girl. Rosie, come on, Rosie. Come on. Come on. She's the best. Rosie, can't leave.
So, come on, as seen on Dr. Oz, come on, Rosie. Come on. Come on, Rosie. Come on. That's my girl. Come on, Rosie. Rosie, come on. Come on, come on. Pillow, 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 pillow. Come on. There you go. That took years. That took years. Go ahead, stay, stay, stay. Rosie, there's your snack. There you go. Well, you can probably guess what we're going to be talking about today. You're not going to hear a word of what I'm saying. I know, I can tell already. Sit, Rosie, sit. Pillow. Stay. Sit. Yeah, this is the part we didn't practice, by the way. She's going to go around twice. Now she's done. Okay. Don't you love animals? Please, I hope you do. I do. The only thing about animals is you can't really have a deep philosophical conversation with them, you know? You can't talk to them and ask them, so what are you feeling deep down inside right now? She really can't tell you. What Scripture tells us is that they were created so that we can care for them and they can also help us out. As partners, as helpers, I want you to think of a time in your life. Think of a time in your life when you knew you had to be cared for. A time in your life when maybe you had just had surgery or a baby and someone brought over a meal. Or a time in your life where you just were upset and someone just kind of came next to you and prayed with you and asked if there's something that they could do for you at that time as well. Now, what we find in Scripture today is that whatever situation we may be in, it's a good feeling to be cared for. And when we look at creatures, when we look at animals, when we find what God has made for us, we can't help but look at Matthew and think, you know what? If God's taking care of them, how much more is God taking care of us? And so why do we worry? The whole Matthew scripture really has to do with worry, where the Genesis scripture gives us an understanding that all creatures, great and small, are created by God, and they're created wonderfully. But Jesus does tell us that there's one thing that distinguishes us from Rosie or from animals that you may have. It's not intelligence. She's a lot smarter than I am. It's not intelligence. It's not introspection. It's who knows what it is. Worry, fear, anxiety. Well, dogs get afraid too, but anxiety, worry. God says that they don't worry about what comes next. We worry about our lives, and our animals don't. The creatures of God's creation, I mean, look at her. What does she have to worry about except a lot of scary people in the congregation? They know that they're cared for. They don't worry. And tomorrow we will worry. Jesus asks, should we not rejoice that we're cared for and that we're loved? All creatures, great and small, are loved and cared for and created by God. So this should prevent us from worrying. So maybe the tragic truth is we're not really able to hand our lives over to God from A to Z. Let's read Genesis and see if we can steal a chapter out of a page of out of the book of animals. We're in Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. We continue to be in the creation account. I think it's been 2 months and we're only through 25 verses. It's not going to speed up, folks. It's not going to speed up. So hang in there. Verses 20 through 25 of chapter 1. And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly across the earth, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks and praise today that we can be called one of your creatures. We ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, I can't think of a time in history, at least in the history that I've been around, when worry and anxiety has been such a prevalent theme throughout the world. I say the word ISIS, and all of our heads snap up because we're worried and we're concerned. All the preparations that are going into the Boston Marathon in this time is a result of wanting to be sure and making absolutely positive that nothing happens. A sense of anxiety, a sense of worry is being built up at a pretty high level around us. From wars and conflicts in Ukraine and Palestine and Iraq and Iran, even on our own borders, if our children learn from us, then potentially this could be the generation W. You know, we've had generation X, so let's choose another letter, and it could potentially be generation W, where W stands for worry. Now, one of the terms that psychologists like to use a lot is a term codependence. And someone who is codependent, according to psychologists, is not very healthy because they're not able to function on their own. They can only see themselves through the eyes of someone else, and that someone else is the person upon whom they are dependent. So this given the term dependency a very negative connotation. I have a little bit of a different take on that. Certainly when it's in relationship to Scripture, my own theory is that being dependent is a viable and normal way of life. From the time we are born, we are dependent. We're dependent upon our parents, then we're dependent on our spouses. I don't mind saying I'm codependent with Stacy. I actually like saying that. And then as we get older, we become dependent upon our kids. And this dependency kind of follows us throughout life. In fact, I would argue that from the beginning of creation itself, we have been in a stage of complete codependence. Dependence certainly upon our creator, but also we interact with all that God has made. Maybe dependency isn't a bad thing after all, but rather a good thing because it reminds us that we need each other. We cannot live this world in this world just by ourselves. And the same is true of God's creatures and God's creation as well. Yesterday we had a marathon day as parents. We were at Red Lion in the morning for two basketball games for Bethany, and then we rushed over to Shippensburg where Naomi had a track meet, and then after that we rushed over to Carlisle where Rachel was playing against Dickinson, and it was from one thing to the next, but it reminded me that each of those events had to do with teams. Teams playing together, and every single person on that team, whether it was a track meet or whether it was a basketball game or whether it was a tennis match, every person had a role. They had a responsibility. They had something that was part of what they had to fulfill and finish. And if one member of that team didn't quite make it or didn't quite pull their own, well, then the whole team would suffer from it. Isn't that kind of the way that we ought to see ourselves? We are part of the team. Even animals are on our team. God has created us in such a way so that we are to live in harmony not only with all of nature, but also with each other. In Genesis, what we find in the verses that we just read shows us that we are completely dependent upon God. Genesis allows us to understand God's ultimate love and care for us through all of His creative acts in the world. And this is supposed to then create within us a desire to be wholly dependent upon God. You know, what Genesis eventually teaches us is that God can only care for us as God would want to care for us if we depend on God. If we refuse to be dependent upon the Lord, then God can only or will only do so much. When we stop thinking that we are dependent upon anyone, then things start to get a lot more difficult. It's when we try to become independent that we run into trouble. Now, that's not what the world tells us, is it? You need to be your own person. You need to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, right? Isn't that the saying? Or did I add too many U's in there? There's a sense that we are in this by ourselves. And that's the message that the world teaches us. But that's not the message at all that we find in Genesis. That's not the message at all that we found in these verses when God created all of the animals, all creatures, great and small. And I thought this might be interesting for those of you, especially in this community. What's the one animal that's mentioned by name, the only one? Do you notice in that scripture? If you go back to that scripture, twice this animal is mentioned. Let me go ahead and point it out. The first time it's mentioned in verse 25. Actually, it's mentioned even before that. Cattle, right? This sense, now Don, don't get a big head, but that's this sense that cattle from the very beginning has seen as something so important and so crucial to our way of life. Animals are so a part of who we are as people. Now, we love our dog Rosie. She's kind of the perfect dog. She used to be really energetic. She's getting a little older now. But we didn't always have a perfect pet. Have you all ever had a pet from somewhere else? Right? We had one. Her name was Brandy. Brandy was a dog who, if you left something out in the yard, would give it back to you the next morning in a new, improved, mangled form, no matter what it was. She had an incredible knack when we lived in Florida of being able to distinguish between weeds and newly planted, fertilized, and watered hibiscus, and loved the hibiscus. She wouldn't get anywhere near the weeds. And yet, in spite of how terrible she may have been, even after she chewed up your hose three times, and it happened, you don't stop feeding them. You'll be good. You don't do things that would hurt them, right? You continue to take care of them. You continue to give them what they need. And that we find throughout Scripture over and over and over again, is that if animals are taken care of, then how much more are we also? In fact, in Genesis, in the Scriptures that we read, if you look at verse 22, God says, be fruitful and multiply, just as Terry said. Where are we used to hearing that? Right? Who do you think that would relate to? When you hear those words, be fruitful and multiply, who did God say that to? Adam, right? Man. Right? Be fruitful. Or in chapter 2 of verse 18, when God says, I will find a partner suitable for man, who do you think God's talking about? Eve, right? It's animals. In chapter 2, we find that God creates animals, again, to be fruitful, multiply animals to be a partner. And then God presents in chapter 2 these animals to Adam, and Adam says, it's not exactly what I had in mind, right? He says, that's not exactly what I was hoping you were going to present me with. And then Eve is created. There's a clear theology. Someone's making Rosie wag her tail. There's a clear theology of blessing, isn't there? There's a clear theology of blessing in Genesis. Now, when we go to Matthew, our Savior, Jesus Christ, speaks very, very specifically about animals. And it's in a way that, as he's talking to his disciples, he's kind of showing them, folks, why do you feel this certain way? Let's go ahead and look at those scriptures. He tells and uses the examples of birds and flowers of the field, not only to show how God cares for us and loves us, but also to show that if we are dependent upon God just as the animals, then we don't need to worry about our life. Just as animals don't worry about their lives. You see, the key to Genesis and the key to Matthew is God's providential care for us, which should convince us to be completely dependent upon God. And God's love is manifested to us, especially on Easter, in the sacrifice of His Son and His resurrection. If God is willing to do that for us, how much more can we be convinced that He will care for us day in and day out? The psalmist says it this way, you were intricately woven in your mother's womb. Philippians chapter 4 tells us, have no anxieties about anything. And this is what we get in Matthew. Jesus telling His disciples, don't worry, we're going to make it. And remember His disciples? His disciples had just left their bread and butter jobs, right? They just left their knowing what everything was happening around them. They just left their reality and was transformed to something that was completely different. I'm going to give her another snack so she stops whining. Are you guys okay with that? Rosie, here's a snack. Oh, no, stay down. You feed a dog and she's happy. Do we believe ultimately in God's care for us? Now we all believe and we all can agree and say that we care, that God cares for us and God cares about us. But can we actually say that we believe that God cares and provides for us just as or even more than He provides and cares for the animals? Now, I know some of you are going through a period in your life that's transitional now, maybe even fragmented. Many are wondering what comes next in this stage of life. I think Rosie and Scripture reminds us that God will care for us. Why are we anxious? The company is talking about layoffs. They might be at hand, or the work that we're in just is not satisfying. It's not considered a vocation in our mind. It's just a job. Worrying about that will not add a single day to our stay here on this earth. We're facing health issues, which leave our future very, very uncertain. In these very real life issues that all of us at one time or another may face, we hear God tell us in Matthew, and I don't mean this flippantly, he says, "Don't worry. I will take care of it." And it's in the midst of these life and death issues where we need to be able to see God coming to us as he did on the day of creation, say, "I've created you, I've made you. I have plans for you. Just look at the animals and see how they help you. See how they're companions to you. See how they don't worry." If we're able to be completely dependent on God, then we will be able to receive God's care and unconditional love just as God wants us to. You know, some say that the Genesis scripture was actually written down because it was passed down from generation to generation spoken, but some say that it was actually written down in the time of the Babylonian exile. Okay? So this creation account that is given to the Israelites to reassure them and remind them that God is in control, God has made all things, is in the midst of the time when the Israelites are slaves in Babylon, at a time when exactly they needed it, at a time when they could hear it and hopefully be able to cope and keep sane. My thought is that these verses in Genesis and Matthew as well, we can use them in a similar time of history for us in order to cope and keep sane. We do worry about many, many things, don't we? And it's a clear sign in those moments of our worry that our eyes have turned back into ourselves and not outward into God. And then God allows us to look out around us as well. If we can trust in him, then we can keep our eyes focused upon the Lord. Let's remind ourselves as we look at this creation account that God's blessing is upon us as seen in Jesus Christ. And let us trust in him. Amen. Loving God, we do come before you now. And we give you thanks and praise because we recognize that you have called us to trust in you, not to worry, not to be concerned, not to try to see ways in which we can make things happen on our own. But rather, you call us like the Genesis and the Matthew scripture reminds us not to worry. Allow the animals around us, which were given to us as a gift and which you blessed first, allow them to remind us of the way in which you care for us. And when we think of our Savior Jesus Christ and what he did for us, Lord, help us to remember even more the way in which you are willing to sacrifice yourself for us. Your love for us is amazing. We pray this now in Jesus' loving name. Amen.